Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. And the heading is the parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled account with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I haven't scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Thank you so much, Rhoda. Jesus was a great storyteller, and you could have listened to him for hours. In fact, people did listen to him for hours. One occasion, they listened to him for so long, they didn't even get anything to eat. And then they came back the next day for more. And Jesus tells this great story of a master being away. And he asks his servants to look after his business. And he gives them significant investments. And the story he's telling is about himself. He is, of course, the master in the story, Jesus. And he gives them different amounts. One, he gives 5 bags of gold, 1 2 bags of gold, and another 1 bag of gold. Now, I don't know if you know, but what each of those servants has got is of immense value. 1 bag of gold is worth, I don't know if you know, £1 million. So if you take the weight of a bag of gold, which is about 30 kilograms, gold costs 30 pounds a gram, and do your multiplication, it's about £900,000. Each of you has been given something of great value. All of you have gifts, experiences, skills that are of great worth to the King. Now, the reason you don't think that, and the reason I don't think that, is because you and I are so busy looking at the person with five bags of gold, who's got £5 million, you forget you've got a bag worth £1 million. You and I are so busy looking at what other people have forgot that you forget what you have been given. Each servant has been given something of immense worth. You have got such valuable assets. You might be encouraging, you might be good at art, you might be sporty, you might think well, you might be kind-hearted, you might be thoughtful, you might be technical, you might be a good manager, you might be a good team player. Maybe you make people laugh. Maybe you're good at laughing when people aren't funny and making them feel good. Maybe you move people to tears in the right way. Maybe you're caring and you make everyone feel at home. Maybe you get people going, you motivate them. Maybe you're a good sustainer when they're down. Maybe you love animals. Maybe you enjoy the city. Maybe you enjoy the country. Maybe you've got an ability to grow wealth. Maybe you haven't got much wealth, but what you've got, you may go a long, long way. You're very creative with it. Maybe you've got a big house that everybody can come to. Maybe you've got a little house, but you make everyone who comes feel welcome. Maybe you're good at cooking. Maybe you're good at appreciating people's cooking. Maybe you're conversational. Maybe you're a good listener. Maybe you tell witty stories. Maybe you just enjoy people's stories. And you're so busy, you and I, worrying that you haven't got five bags of gold, that you bury your one bag of gold of immense value in a home. That's what you and I do, don't we? And that's what Jesus is driving at a little bit on in this story. But let me tell you, did you notice something else? All those servants were of equal value. If you read the story really carefully, there's no hierarchy. Now, that's unusual, isn't it? Because in our society, if you've got five bags of gold, you've got to be worth more than a person with two bags of gold. You've got things like the Forbes Rich List, haven't you? The Times 100 Most Wealthy People in Britain. They're all ranked 1 to 100. And you and I don't even get the top 100. But there we go. So if you're a Premiership footballer, you've given loads of money to charity, you've remembered your mum's birthday, you're pretty high. If you have played in the park footballer, you've given a few pounds to charity and you forgot your mum's birthday, you're pretty low down in the rankings. But in Jesus' kingdom, you're all the same. Your gifts don't mark out your worth. That's really important. You see, the most important thing is you're a servant of the master. Now, in those days, how it worked was to get a job, no internet, of course, you would go to the public square and you would stand there, a day labourer, and then people who were looking for employees, they'd come to the public square and they'd say, I need five harvesters today, I'll take you. And that's how you get your job. And that's how you get your employment. Jesus has come to the market square. He saw all of you. And he said, I'll have a lot of you. And then the trader says, yeah, but it'll cost you your life. The only way you're going to hire these guys is by dying for them. And Jesus says, yes, all right, I'll do that. And the trader goes, no, they're not worth it. Yeah, I wouldn't die for this lot, the trader goes. I mean, compared to you, they don't scrub up too well. And Jesus says, no, I have them all. And so he dies on the cross. That's a price for you to be in his team. And once you're in his team, your status is irrevocable. You are all worth the same amount. So, you've got something of immense value. You are of immense value, and your rank does not depend on what you've been given. Let's carry on with the story. Now, did you notice the servants with five bags and two bags, they do something? The man who had received five bags of gold, verse 16, went at once and put his money to work. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. What you've got, put it to use today. Jesus says, today is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Jesus doesn't want you to be reckless, doesn't want you to be stupid. You can plan and you can think, but plan today. Saying, I'll think about that tomorrow, is doing nothing. Planning today, what you might do tomorrow, that is something. Doing today is also something. Put it to use today, what you've got. You can encourage today. You can care today. You can pray today. You can help today. You can read today. You can give to charity today. Put it to use today, like the two servants who gave a good return. Don't sit on it. That's what the servant with one bag does. He does nothing. And what's the reason? Well, actually, the master is pretty perceptive. Verse 26, you lazy servant. Good old-fashioned laziness. You don't hear lazy being mentioned anymore. You're badly motivated. You're not properly incentivized. You've not got the right motivation. You know, it's a job of a teacher, it's a job of a manager to motivate their workers. But I've taught lots of kids, over 300, and I know some are just bone idle. That some of us are just bone idle. It's not about anyone incentivizing us or motivating us. Laziness is a sin. It's part of the human condition. And you and I are prone to it. Now, you can always tell when you've got a lazy person on your hands because they do this. They blame other people. That's what they do. They don't take responsibility. They blame other people. And that's exactly what this servant does, doesn't he? Straight away. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man. What a load of rubbish. The man who'd just gone and hired him at the cost of his life had given him £1 million of investment. You're a hard man. What a load of rubbish. He's blaming the man who's entrusted him with £1 million and said, go and do something with that. He doesn't really, he either doesn't understand the master or he's not trying to understand the master. If it was true, if he really had a master who, as he says, was a hard man, verse 24, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed, this is how the story would go. Once there was a master, he had a bunch of servants who he didn't care too much for. He said, I'm going away. He did give them a dime. He said, when I come back, I want you all to have made a pile of money. The master came back. Some servants had made a bit of money. A lot hadn't. He took what those servants who got money had made, and then he asked those who haven't made any money to give some from their personal savings. That's how the story would have gone. But that isn't how the story goes at all, is it? It's completely different. The master gives them the money. They didn't have any money. He gave it to them. All that you have is given by God. You didn't choose where you were born. You didn't choose which school you went to. You didn't choose who your friends were. You didn't choose. I can run. I can run reasonably fast without trying. I get no credit for that. That's just how God made me. There's things you can do without trying very hard, and God gives them to you. The question is not what you've got, what do you do with it? Now, here's something else which is really incredible in this story. The servants, you're reading that thinking, well, it's a bit tough. You know, one with five, he gets five bags. One with two, he gets two. It's like, they're better, they're worse. No. You're misunderstanding the story if you get that. Whose is the money when it's given to the servants? It's the master's. When the servants make the money, who does the money belong to? The master. The money is all the master's. It was his when it started. It's his at the end. What you've got isn't yours. You've been bought at a price. It's the master's. It's the king's. That takes the pressure off of you. It's not yours. All the master's worried about is what you do with it. Let's have a look at this in a bit more. So the master returns. He expects the servants to have used what he's given them well, but only according to their ability. So the one with five bags is delighted that he's doubled five, knowing that the master would be delighted. And the master is delighted. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, this next bit is the key to the whole story. This unlocks the whole story. Then the one with two bags is delighted to show the master that he's made two more. Now you have to look really carefully at what the master says, because this is how it works in your society and my society. The one with five bags, if he's working for a bank, would get instant promotion. He would get a huge shout out, and he would get a massive bonus. The one with two bags would get a level of promotion. He would get a bit of a shout out, and he would get some bonus, but certainly not as much as the one with five bags. Now look what the master does. This is the key to the whole thing. So the one with two bags comes back, and the master says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Can you spot the difference between what the master says to the one with five bags and the one with two bags?
No,
thank you, Rhoda, because there isn't any difference. They get the same reward. That is totally goes against the way our society works. The one with five bags gets the same reward as the one with two bags. If the one with one bag had returned one bag more, he'd have got the same reward. You and I are going to get the same reward with what we got. When you get to heaven, if you serve God, if you follow Jesus, if you love Jesus, you could have, I don't know, created a factory that employed 500,000 people, or you could have just worked in a factory that employed 500,000 people all your life. Do you know what the master's going to say to you? Well done, good and faithful servant. Do you know what he's going to say to the one who owns a factory? Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. Come and share your master's happiness. Why? Because the reward is you get to be with Jesus. That is the reward. He gives him five bags more. He gives him two bags more. That's not a reward. That's a responsibility. So you've done well. You've managed this well. I'm going to give you a bit more when you go to heaven. That doesn't make you better. You don't get a better reward. It's just more to manage. And whose will you be managing? The master's. And what does the master do with everything he's got? He shares it. So in fact, that the servant collected under the master, they did have, let me do my quick maths, 8 bags of gold. They've now got 15 bags of gold to share. The master shares everything he has. When you use your skills to help someone, when you serve the Lord, you're helping the whole kingdom of God. When one part rejoices, every part rejoices. When one part suffers, every part suffers. This is why he's so cross with the one with one. So the one with one gold bag. This is why he's cross. That gold was meant to help everybody. Now, I don't know what economic theories you have. Capitalist, socialist, it doesn't matter too much. But in our society, you need a bit of money to make things work. So, for example, you invest in a factory or new business, new tech business, say, that creates jobs. Those jobs allow people to feed their families. Those children can then go to school. Those taxes help pay for police and hospitals and roads and schools. So in our system, rightly or wrongly, that's how it works. And do you remember, after the financial crash of 2008, the biggest problem was the banks wouldn't lend any money. And the worry was the whole system would come down and we'd all be worse off. God has given that money to invest in the world. Your bag of gold, your skills, your abilities, that are worth incredible value, even if you think, well, all I can do is chat well to people, God's saying that's worth $1 million. That skill is to invest in our world, which is really needy. Pour over me. Do you remember that song said, pour over me? God is trying to pour into the world. You hold back your investment. Who suffers? The world suffers. You hide away, the world loses out. The church loses out. When one part suffers, every part suffers. Because it's not about you. This story isn't about you trying to get more stuff so you can go to heaven and present five bags of gold. Because you're going to get the same reward as the person with two bags of gold and one bag of gold. It's about the king gave his life that everyone might have life in all their fullness. You've been given things of great value to help the kingdom grow. Steve, if we could put the title slide up of that PowerPoint, that would be good. And that servant was prepared to believe lies about the master. And what did that breed? What does it say about the guy? He said, I was afraid, so I went and hid the gold. When you listen to rubbish, you feel rubbish and you do rubbish things. When you listen to people who say your worth depends on what you've got, you start to worry. Listen to the master. It says in the last days, people will listen to all sorts of lies and their itching ears will be deceived, Paul says. The people want to listen to rubbish. That servant wanted to listen to lies. For it says here, for time is coming when people no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. The reason our country is in trouble is because the church has grown weaker. Much of what we had in this country, liberty of conscience, good justice, social care, came from Christians living out their faith day to day. And the church began to go in on itself. And the church now needs to go back out and bring that healing to our nation. That's why Jesus is cross. I gave you that money to invest in the world that people might know me. And you've not only damaged yourself, but you've damaged others. But here's the real encouragement, because you can start to feel really down. Here's the encouragement. The master wants the servants to succeed. The one with five doubles his investment to five. Five more. The one with two doubles his investment to two more. God wants you to succeed. You don't have to do too much. I had a friend who lived in a country called Cameroon on the west coast of Africa. And I went to visit him. And he said, it's amazing here. The soil is amazing here. You plant a twig, a dead twig in the ground, and it will grow into a tree. It's just so fertile. When you're working for the master, it's so fertile. God does the heavy lifting for you. You're going to succeed. If you've got five, he's going to double it to ten. If you've got two, he's going to double it to four. If you've got one, he's going to double it to two. And you'll get the same reward. God's doing the heavy lifting. Carl, just come and share a little bit of what you were sharing with me this morning. So I just found that so encouraging. So this is what God does. And thanks ever so much, Carl, because I know you don't find it easy coming up in front and sharing, but no. So, Carl, just tell everybody, not everyone here will know what you do.
Oh, I'm a garage door fitter.
Fantastic.
That's it.
That's fantastic. So Carl drives around, that's an amazing job. And Carl, this week your company employed a new guy, because they've got more work, which is good. And what did that guy start saying about your faith?
So the new chap is from a different faith, I'm found out which, and he started to pick up, he found out I was a Baptist, he started to pick holes in it and tried to say it was a man-made religion, and I didn't really answer him at the time, I didn't think it was right to, yeah.
And your boss, what did he say?
So my boss stepped in and he said, well, I'm not a Christian or a Jew or an atheist or anything, I don't believe in anything. But he said, not being funny, he said, when Carl says stuff or when Carl prays, stuff actually happens. But I just want to make the point that I didn't know stuff was actually happening. I just sort of offhand say, well, I'll pray about that, or we'll talk about that, or, you know, whatever. And, yeah.
Carl, that's brilliant. Thank you so much. I said I keep it really You just need to let God in. He does the heavy lifting. Now, look, I went to Wayne. You're probably thinking there's Nathan there standing up front. He never feels intimidated. He's always confident. And it's not actually true. Is there the Lego Man slide there, please, Steve? So I went on a conference. Thank you so much for playing. I went to a big conference this week in the Royal Albert Hall in London, led by Nicky Gumbel, who started or widely popularised the Alpha Programme. Now, I find that intimidating. I go because I know it'll help me grow. But there's part of me that finds it quite scary. Why? Because there's just so many Christians there. I look around and I'm looking at them all with their five bags of gold. I'm doing exactly what I was telling you not to do. No, but I am. they're leading big churches of speakers, and they're doing this and they're doing that. And even the people you're sitting next to, they're all kind of very cool and know what's happening and fashionable and all that type of thing. And I feel intimidated. You prayed for me. Do you know what? As I was going there, I thought, Nathan, you can't feel intimidated. What were you telling everyone at Sheenville this morning? That every member has been given a gift. That if you're the ear, you can't say I'm not important because I'm not an eye. Nathan, you've got to believe in what you've been telling everybody else. What you've got is important. You're valued by God and you're of equal worth to everyone here. You've got different gifts and skills, but they're of great worth in the kingdom. But I went feeling like that. But as the conference came on, somebody prayed for me. I asked the guy next to me, Nicky Gumbel, said, look, I just sense fear in the room. He said, particularly for pastors. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that fear be gone. And he said, if you want to receive from the Holy Spirit, just receive from him. They encouraged him to get prayed for. So I just asked the guy next to me to pray for me. And he prayed for me, just put his hand on me. Nothing dramatic seeming on the outside happened to me, but I felt a deep sense of affirmation. Real peace. Can't really explain it, but I did. And one of the things I was asking for was a vision for you guys, for this church, for us. And I really felt God gave that. So I went feeling a bit like that. And you might be like that. That's the man with the one coin. He's been listening to rubbish, telling himself rubbish because he's lazy and wicked. Okay. But next slide, please, Steve. This is what Jesus is saying. This is how I see you. You're a vast army. You guys are a vast army. You've each got at least one bag of gold. Because everyone in the service has one bag of gold. So all you need is Jesus. And you're one bag. So don't worry if you've not got five. I think to myself, I'm a one bag of gold man. That's fine. I've just got to do the best with my one bag of gold. And Jesus is saying you're a vast army. Jesus is saying to you here at Sheenville, you are going to do things for me which you wouldn't believe possible even if I were to tell you. I believe that. And I believe God's going to be doing something in the near future. Both Dave and Carl have spoken this word. My sense is it's true. That God's going to do something in the near future. And I think it's about transforming us and transforming your attitudes, transforming my attitudes, that you are who God's going to use to change things in the village, in your workplace, in your family. And that God's going to begin changing you. And you'll think that's really exciting. And we'll think that's really exciting. But that's not the end. That's just the start for the next stage. Because you're a vast army. You need to get your guns ready and your equipment ready and your haversack ready and your training ready. And that is what God is saying. There you are, ready to charge and frighten the life out of everybody else. But you're more powerful than you realise. We don't want to be like the servant who hid his things away. Why? Because Jesus is with us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So this is we always have a bit of application at the end. There's a pen, there's some paper. It's always for you. You never got to share this. I don't really ask people to share this. If you want to, you're welcome to, but this is for you. Okay, on that sheet of paper, this is what I want you to think about this morning. Remember, do it today. Don't say, I'll think about that tomorrow. Do it today. Okay, everyone can do this. Write down one gift, skill, or ability you have. You don't have any paper, use your phone. One skill, gift, or ability you have. Could be you've got a nice smile. Could be you're good at, you know, every television program that's ever been shown on BBC One. It could be absolutely anything. It can be a spiritual gift, it can be a physical gift. Great. Okay, now I want you to imagine a little bit. I want you just to imagine a little bit. Okay, number two, it says, what would be the impact of using this gift, skill, or ability for God in your family or friendship group. So we've got three areas: workplace, neighbourhood, and your church. Family and friendship. If you started to use that, do you know you can always tell when the Spirit of God is at work in someone? Shall I tell you how? They start using whatever God's given them in the situations that are closest to them. So they start using it in their family. They start loving God in their workplace. They start loving God in their church. People whom the Spirit of God, they're not really letting in, they'll say something like this: oh yeah, I'm going to go on a mission to Asia or Africa, and then I'll be used by God there. But the person who's really let the Spirit of God in, they'll be talking like Carl did. They'll be saying, yeah, I was praying for my work, and I was just trying to put up garage doors really well. And I made God beautiful by putting up garage doors beautifully. They'll be saying, my family today, in my family today, I'm going to empty the dishwasher. Today, they're going to do it. I'm not going to do it tomorrow, I'm going to do it today. In my family today, I'm going to try and speak kindly to them. But, you know, I'm going to shout a bit, but in my family today, I'm going to sort out the garden because it's a mess and my family has been nagging me to do that for ages. In my family today, normally they argue. I'm going to try and bring them together. In my church today, I'm going to sing my heart out. In my church today, right now, I'm going to think how I can serve God. In my church today, this morning, at coffee, I'm going to go like a red laser beam and track someone down and encourage them. I'm not going to let them go without being better than when they came in. Just make sure you've got the gift of encouragement before you do that. No, I'm joking. In my church today, I'm just going to tidy up all the stuff. So what would be the impact of you using your gift in your family and friendship group today? And then, more widely, what would be the impact of you using your skill or ability for God in your workplace or your neighbourhood? You choose either of those. And what would it be in your church? It might be, I'm going to preach better sermons than the pastor. And then I'll go, hallelujah. Now, then we get to number three. Now, number three looks a daft question. Do you ever ask God to help you use this gift, skill or ability? Yes, no. Do you know what? The reason I put that in there, because the amount of people who I talk to, I said, do you ever pray about that? They go, no. Do you ever pray about that problem that you've got at work? No. Do you ever pray about that problem you've got in your family? No. Do you ever pray about your workplace? No. Do you ever pray about your children? No. Mum and dad? No. Okay. No wonder God's not helping, because he's waiting for you to ask. Do you ever pray for your workplace? Do you ever pray for your neighbours? Do you ever pray for your street? You would not believe the difference when you start praying for the situations you are in every day. Carl's story can be repeated. There's other people in the room who I could ask to repeat that story. If you don't believe me, and I hope you don't believe me because I want you to take on this challenge, start doing it tomorrow, today. Start praying for your family today. Start praying for your workplace today. Start praying for your neighbourhood today. Start praying for your church today. Do it for a little while. You won't believe the difference. Don't dare hide your money in the ground. Because you've got one. God doesn't care. He gave that to you £1 million. Stop worrying about the five bags. Worry about the one bag you've got. You could be so excited by what happens. Okay, now this is the next bit. You've got to be a bit brave to do this. What I'm going to ask you to do is, if you would like to say, God, I've written down that gift. I really want you to use that gift to help me use that gift today. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And then we're going to pray that you receive the power of God's Holy Spirit to help you do that. Why? Because you will succeed. You will be fruitful. Jesus Christ said, I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will bear. Sometimes we can't see the fruit that God's bearing because we're looking at the person with five bags and thinking, I've got to get there. I've got to get what they're doing. I've got to run a multi-million pound business like they've got. I've got to have the perfect family like they do. I've got to have this many likes on Facebook. I've got to have this many people worshipping God. And we forget to look at what God's doing right in front of us. That's how God's going to transform you. Now, so many of you do that so well. It was so good. DG groups on Tuesday. And I think Iris is now leading Iris and Sandra's group. Kelly was leading one of the other groups. We've moved into three groups because people are saying, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to expand today. I'm going to give up some of the things which are precious to me today so that other people can be benefited. Open the book. People getting stuck in with that. Carl's story at work. Be chill. We're all saying, we're going to give that a go. Fantastic. You're not hiding your money in the ground. Throwing it around all over the place. So that's good. But if you'd like to say, actually, I am holding my money back a bit. I am holding my investment back a bit. I'd like God to help me. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray that God empowers you. Or it might be you say, actually, I just want a bit more power from God. I'm excited. I'm already sharing that. I'm already investing and I want a bit more power from God. And we'll pray because God will help you. So if you'd like to receive from God, either because actually you think, actually I've been hiding back a bit, I want to stretch out and I want to be used by God. Or actually if you're saying, I just want more power, you can stand. If you don't stand, that's fine. So stand now if you'd like to be prayed for. And if you don't, that's absolutely fine. No one's going to look down. Okay, let's pray. Jesus Christ, I trust that you're raising up here a vast army, like the Marines in this photo. I have absolutely no doubt. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. Lord, if we've been burying our gifts and skills in the ground, we're sorry. Forgive us. And now you say, forget the former things, do not dwell in the past, see I'm doing a new thing. That's what you say to us if we're sorry. And if we've already been investing, Jesus, I pray that that investment would be so profitable for you, really fruitful for you. Will you raise up a vast army, Jesus? And I pray that Carl's story will be multiplied 100 times by what you're doing. Jesus, because we're all servants of you, the King. You died for each one of us. You went to the marketplace and said, I'll have the lot. I'll have that one and that one and that one and that one at the cost of your life. We're your servants. Everything we have is yours. When someone earns 5, that also belongs to the one who has 1. Thank you that one day we'll all have the same reward, which is well done. Come and share your master's happiness. Amen. Please take a seat. Doesn't matter whether you felt power from God, doesn't matter whether you didn't feel power from God. God is going to help you. I will help you, the master says. And Judith would like to share something. Come on, Judith.
God's timing is no coincidence. Sorry. Many of you know I've been doing Taekwondo training for about the last 18 months. Every week, or twice a week, I go, and every week on the way there, I pray God, you know, I name people, and I just say, you know, I pray for, and I list all the people that go there. Another way yesterday, I didn't pray like that. I actually said, God, for goodness sake, look, I've been going here every week, twice a week, for 1.5 years, and absolutely nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing. I'm not doing anything. So that was my prayer that day. And then a couple of hours later, I went to pick Sarah Jane up from her dance class. I had about 20 minutes to spare, and I thought, I'll just have a look online. There's various videos pop into my inbox. I'll watch one of these videos. And one of them was actually by a Taekwondo sort of sensei. And he normally teaches like how to do a particular technique or a particular move. And he said, today I'm not going to do that. I'm going to encourage you with something. He said, for those of you who are just going along and thinking, what I'm doing each week doesn't make any difference. This isn't a Christian guy. This is just a Taekwondo expert. And he said, whatever you're doing, don't be discouraged, because whatever you're doing is making a difference. He shared something, quite a long story about how somebody who trained in a certain way, it was kind of an ordinary way of training for them, shared with him, and it was quite a new way, and it completely transformed him. But he said, you know, whatever it is you're doing, you're ordinary, for somebody else is extraordinary, is special. And I just thought, God, how did you know? The first time I'd actually prayed, for goodness sake, I'm not doing anything. But this guy then to share not how to do a particular move, but actually to encourage people. I just thought, God. And then to tie in what you just said as well, I just thought, that's absolutely incredible.
I think that's the word for us all, that what you're doing, I think you said today, makes a difference. That's, is that what he said? What you're going to do.
You're ordinary. Somebody else is special.
That's from the Lord. For you this morning. If that wasn't enough, actually next week we just have Jesus sharing the word next week. And there we go.